And I invite you to stand as you are able for God's word. Yep, this way. Yep, right through here. Preschool kids, you can go right out there. Yep, right out there. You may wonder why we stand. Well, there's times like when someone really important comes in the room, we give them that honor of standing, or a standing ovation. We do that for God too, and we do that to honor Him, especially as we hear His truth through one of the four accounts of Jesus' life. This is from the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke was a physician, they believe, and he was so concerned about the healing miracle of the kingdom of God coming through Jesus. And the disciples have been witnessing these miracles that have been happening, and now they have a huge thing to ask Jesus. So let's listen. It's going to be familiar, and you've probably already read the whole thing behind my back as I've been doing this. But let's hear this together from the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, years ago, every time that I would come to my grandparents' house, I knew for a fact that my grandpa was going to be there. You see, he'd been a World War II vet. In fact, a kamikaze had come and actually sank his ship, and he was tossed into the ocean. And after that, he said, "Enough travel, enough danger. I am going to come back. I'm going to hang out and have a family, and I'm going to be in my house." And that's what my grandpa did. But he was the king of the one-liners, the king of dry humor. He had a line for everything. He would be the one who would say, "God made some of us perfect, the rest with hair." And at the time, I was like, "Grandpa, come on." And I had full beautiful mane. After that, I've really appreciated those wise words. He was 100% Dutch. So he'd say, "If you ain't Dutch, you ain't much." I was like, "Grandpa, that hurts, because I'm half German, half Dutch." And I said, "Well, Grandpa, I'm half German." He said, "Well, half of you is really much." I'm like, thanks, Grandpa. But he's the reason that when I'm saying something punny, that my little girl rolls her eyes and says, "Dad jokes," because that's who he was. And it was just time of laughter. He loved to just hang out with you. And at the kitchen table, when you'd be there, there were many times that he would have a certain board game set up. This is the one, the king of all board games. And if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. Thank you. Scrabble was such a gift. And 9-year-old Danny came to my grandpa Cook's and sat down at the table. And my grandpa said, "Danny, do you want to learn the best game in the world?" And I said, "Yes, Grandpa." And so Grandpa taught me, where you have 7 letters, you pull them out randomly. And he taught me how to play this game, but he actually was the worst at helping me. In fact, he relished beating his little 9-year-old grandson at Scrabble and anyone else. So he wouldn't help me to make words. So my very first time, I was rock-starring it as a 9-year-old, and I would flip the letters around, and I would put master words like "the." And my grandpa, bless his heart, the one I looked up to, he was so amazing in faith and love, he would look at the board, and he would look at me, and then he'd go, "Ha, ha, ha, ha," and he would cackle evilly, and then he would put down, like he would always do, he had some way of getting right to the very best scores, and he would he would literally put down his letters at least once a game and get the 50-point bonus. He would block it all up. He would never open it up, of course. He'd make it so the words were going both ways, you know what I'm talking about, and it was incredible. And he relished in beating his little 9-year-old grandson. I mean, I think it was like 432 to 50, maybe. And he thought it was the best. But in Scrabble, you know, you want to, it's not just the letters. All letters have different points to them. So for those of you who don't, here's a quick tutorial. All letters have certain points. You can make words. They have to tie into other ones. And you want to hit either the double letters or the triple letters or the double words, or especially in the corners, the triple word score. That is magical. In fact, from my grandpa, I now know I will never, ever, ever let anyone have a triple word score. I will block up that bad boy, and I will beat you. In fact, because of my grandpa, I feel like it's been probably 10 years or more since I've lost at Scrabble. What's up? Challenge accepted. Anyone? Come at me. It's really fun. I love this game. And in fact, my grandpa sounds evil when I tell these stories. But I have to tell you, every single time I play Scrabble or Words with Friends online, I think of my grandpa. And I do it with such joy. Because even when he was cackling at me, there was joy in it. It was fun. It was amazing. And I miss him so much. But you know, in Scrabble, this is amazing. We'd go for the triple word. We'd try to get the best words with the most points. You'd want the Z's or the J's. You want the X's. You want those big letter, those big value letters, right? But sometimes, many times, you wouldn't get those. And sometimes you get the ones that are more common with a lot lesser points. And then sometimes you'd get something like this. All vowels. What do you do with that? What kind of words are you going to make with that? I, especially at 9 years old, didn't know how to do that. But I wonder, as I'm thinking about Scrabble and looking at this, I also think there are many of us that we try as hard as we can in our lives to get the most value, to get the best things in our lives, and to do the very best, to be successful, to have people like us, to have good family time. And yet it seems like sometimes life gives us something else. Life gives us a hand that looks a lot like all vowels. And sometimes it's, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I wonder if for some of you, you feel like life is like this right now. Maybe you're struggling with bills. Maybe for you, someone just was diagnosed with something really tremendously hard. I know still others are grieving someone today, missing them immensely. And life feels like this. Now, did God give you this hand? Is this life? Is this our actions? And where is God in the middle of this? The disciples, I think, truly, those 12 men that were following Jesus 2,000 years ago, when we encounter them in this big question that they ask and this big hope that they have, I think they all feel like this has been happening in their lives. Life was supposed to go a certain way, and now it hasn't. And now they're encountering Jesus and wondering what's up. Because see, here's the deal. Let's set the scene. When Jesus called these 12 individuals, their life was not peaches and cream. These were not the best of the best. These were not the smartest. These were not the brightest. These were not the ones that were the most popular. In fact, they were just the opposite. They were the ones that got all vowels for life, and now Jesus actually called them. So this is crazy stuff. In fact, for most of them, the pinnacle, if you wanted the triple word score in Jesus' times for life, do you know what you wanted to be? You didn't want to be a lawyer. That was okay. You didn't want to be a soldier for sure. You know what you wanted to be? The equivalent of the Lutheran pastor. Woohoo! Triple word score all around. Bow ties galore for rabbis back. Okay, they didn't wear bow ties. But you did want to be a rabbi. That was the pinnacle. That was the one that everyone respected, that was able to have amazing blessings in life, and they truly felt that God blessed the rabbis and their disciples, their followers, in a special way. that when you became a rabbi, or if you were chosen because you were the best and the brightest, then also you'd get the triple word score from God, the best blessings. But that's not what happened to these 12 people. You see, when Jesus comes to them, they've been rejected by everyone. And so, like, people like Peter and James and John, people that maybe you've heard about but are some of the ringleaders, the core group of the disciples, when he calls them, they were rejected by all the rabbis. They couldn't do that, so they'd gone back to their livelihood of their families, of their dads. So they were fishermen of all things. And would you want to be a fisherman in Jesus' time? No, you wouldn't. You smelled. It was dependent on how many you could catch. And it wasn't the pinnacle. It was like getting a lot of vowels. You weren't respected. Life didn't feel the best. And so here comes Jesus. He takes some rejects. He takes people that don't feel like everything is going for them, and he calls them. So before we move into, I think, a pivotal topic, I want you to hear, if your life is not going the way you hope for, if Jesus calls and pays attention to them, to these rejects, that might mean he pays attention to you and to me today, especially when we feel like life is not the best. But now these rejects, they have been called by God. Now all at once it feels like life is going a different way. But they have a key question, and it's such a powerful one. They really have a request for Jesus, and it's the same one I think we have today even. They're wondering, how do you pray? How do you do it? Is there a certain way to do it? And if that is the case, is God listening? Is God impacted? Do our prayers impact God? And that's why I'm so thankful to go into this brand new sermon series for the next 5 weeks. It's called Prayer 101. Because I am guessing that today you feel when I say, if I were to say, how do you pray? What's the right way to do it? What are the right words? Are you supposed to fold your hands and go on your knees? Are you supposed to raise your hands and put them to the sky to God? You would promptly do the best Lutheran thing that you could do when I asked that question. You would look down because you weren't sure and you don't want me to ask. But how do we pray? Is God impacted by us? What happens when our prayers aren't answered the way we hope for? These are important things. These are some of the biggies. So we're going to look at that over the next 5 weeks. But today, to just set us up on this kind of class time about prayer, this worship, I want to come to what the disciples make as a request to Jesus. Now, they see him. This is interesting. They see him. He goes off to a certain place. I don't know where it is. They see him praying. I don't know how he's doing it. But it must have been amazing. It must have been enough that they're like, wow. Listen to how he's saying it. Listen to his tone. And look at his posture. And he must have just, it's been so transformative that they see Jesus doing it. They've kind of observed him. And now they say, Lord, teach us to pray. No, I think this is wild because, first of all, they've been following him for some time already. And now, like a year into it, they're like, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm like, what have you been doing for the last year, followers of this rabbi? Okay. But I do wonder because there's certain people like my grandparents that would pray, and I'd be amazed. There was an interim, so a student pastor when I was a youth director and learning to be a pastor, that he'd get up and do prayers of the people, and I was like, wow, I wish I could pray like that. Is that how I should? So I get it, and maybe you do too. How do you find the right words? How do you do it? Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus does. Jesus tells them. He gives them a lesson, and it's become the Lord's Prayer, we call it. You may know it. But I want to focus on two really key things that he tells us in Scripture. First of all, how he starts it. So he says, when you pray, say it like this. And in this translation, it said Father. But actually, it's a plural. So the two important pieces of this, he says, when you approach God, now he's not talking about how you sit or stand. I don't know about that. But he says, when you approach God, say our Father. Not mine. He's ours. And it's our Father. Now, this is interesting. The translation actually is not formal. It's more like our daddy. Our papa. Our dad. So yes, he's the creator of the universe. He is so powerful, and yet he's our papa. Now, I don't know about you. In all of my years, I have never called God daddy. I have never called God papa. But that's what Jesus is actually telling us to do. And what it reminds me of is like when my kids are coming to me and they're saying, daddy! I mean, that's the first thing I hear. Or when they're hurt, they're like, daddy! And they want me to pick them up. He's telling us, this is our daddy. That when you're hurting, when you're feeling like life is less than, that you just have a whole bunch of vowels that have been thrown at you and you're trying to make sense of it, trying to make words out of it, our daddy is ready to listen. So when you approach God in prayer, when you're talking to God, approach him as if he is the most loving dad. Whether you had a loving dad or not, whether you had an authoritative dad or not, whether you had a perfect dad or not, you didn't, by the way, because he's human. You have a perfect papa that's listening. Now let's pause there. That's huge. God's not waiting to punish you. God's not the one doling out vowels to you and making sure you fail in life. He's right there. So that's the first thing. When we pray, the first thing to know who you're praying to, it's a loving God. And then next is this, hallowed, holy be your name. Now, in Jesus' time, if you actually uttered God's name, Jehovah, it was the highest offense. God's name is so powerful, God's name is so holy and special that you couldn't even say his name. If you would, you would be killed. They would stone you. They would take rocks and kill you because God's name was so special, so powerful that you couldn't even utter it. In fact, in our Bibles, when you go to the Old Testament, and I triple dog dare you, now you're gonna lose the rest of my sermon because you're gonna be looking at this. Every time you see in the Old Testament, that's the first 39 books of the Bible, and when you see the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means the translator said God's name is so holy, it's so powerful that when we see his name, we can't even write it. We can't say it. We can't even write it. So instead of writing Jehovah, they would write Lord. So when you see Lord, it's actually the capital, all capitals. That means they transposed it, not his name, which it should be. That's how holy his name is. So the two things when we come to God in prayer, he's our loving daddy. He's our papa that's so ready to listen. He's also the all-powerful, almighty. And when we utter his name, holy things happen. It's special time when we come to God. But what happens in prayer? Our daddy's waiting to listen. Our daddy is all-powerful and holy. But how does prayer start? This is interesting. Eugene Peterson, who's pastor, author, he actually wrote the Message translation to make it in more common vernacular for us. This is what he said. Prayer is never the first word. It is always the second word. God has the first word. And when you come to the beginning even of our Bible in Genesis, God speaks and then things are created. God speaks and then more is created. And when God encounters anyone in the Bible, as people have encountered him rarely throughout the generations, God appears and he talks and then they answer. And so what I want to talk to you about today is as we come to God, God is so ready to listen, But who is always speaking all the time? And we don't even know it. God is. That our Papa is lovingly whispering to us in every moment of every day. You know, they say that a newborn baby hears us talking over and over again, hears millions of words, and after hearing them so much, finally, after those millions of times of coming at them with all these words, they come to the most common ones, and all at once they start to repeat them. So all at once they say, "Mama." And we're like, "Wow, you're the best, I love you." And then they go to the lesser one, "Papa." And then dads are dreaming. Ah! It's the same way with God, that God is speaking to us every moment of every day. God, I think, has been whispering to us throughout worship here. God has been whispering to you as you were getting ready and some of you dragging your feet, and God's whispering, "You're loved. You're okay." If you did something on Saturday night and you're feeling a little embarrassed about it, guess what? God's saying, "It's okay. You're loved. You're mine." He's our loving Papa. He's whispering to us and speaking to us and sending people to us and having actions that are moving throughout us in every moment of every day. And prayer is us listening and finally speaking and returning and responding to God. So today, as we start this Prayer 101, what I would love for you to do is this. I would love for you to listen, to just listen for God, to spend time actually trying to hear His, because if you're talking to someone, they're talking back, right? To your spouse or to your kid, well, sometimes not your kids, but when you talk to them, if they're listening, they're responding. And I think in prayer, it's God speaking to and through us, and now our chance is to respond to our loving Papa, who says, "Today, you are mine." Now, your life may not feel like it's a triple word score right now, but really the gift is that God is moving with us, leading us through anything and everything. That's going to change everything. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of prayer. God, we're imperfect. We fail. Many times we don't speak to you. There's so many times that now you're starting to help us realize that you're whispering to us. You're speaking to us. You're bringing people and things to us every moment. So God, help us to respond to you and help us to listen. For this week, open our ears to what you're whispering all the time. And what you're whispering is that we are special and loved. We love you. And all God's people said. Bonus part of the sermon. This means Dan forgot. My grandpa died 16 years ago, and that night he woke up my grandma and he said, "Dad was here," and he whispered, "Come home." He died that next morning. I think God's whispering to us all the time, "Come home," and not just to heaven, "Come home to my arms. You're loved." What a gift. Amen.